League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I had to have some type of arrogance.
I mean,
like I put up numbers this year. You know what I'm saying?
I put up numbers.
She had. We know her stats, so you know she did.
You had to have arrogance to try to escape slavery
multiple times and then go back.
Yeah,
right. And try to help people and save people.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm To Hear More.
I'm Patrick Cloud,
and this is another episode of Damn Internet. You scary.
Yeah.
Very special guest on the pod today, ladies and gentlemen. This brother, it's crazy. It's almost like an all-death reunion right here. Okay. I think he was there, and then Pat was there. Snow was at death when Patrick just had Twist.
Yeah.
Pat was an intern and twisted up, and this was crazy. You were there before I was there. I came in afterwards. And yeah, man. So this is a mini all death reunion. Everybody has gone on to do amazing things. He's been a writer on Wildin' Out. He's had his own multiple shows. He's had multiple videos go viral online and on YouTube. He's a stand up comedian. Just filmed his first 1 hour comedy special. Ladies and gentlemen, we got in the building. Compton's on, Mr. J. Snow.
What up?
What's up, gang?
It's good to be here. Thanks for the invite. Yeah.
First of all, congratulations on the special, man. We both worked with this guy named Jack Vine to produce our special. They came at us with a crazy deal. The craziest thing about this whole thing is that we only got to film this special once.
One time.
Most comedy specials are filmed 2 to 3 times minimum. Ooh. And we got a one take, and then we did pickups at the end. Uh-huh. And it's the craziest thing.
Normally, they shoot multiple times in different areas. You get different crowds and stuff, right? We had one shot.
And a small stage.
You had to get everything out. The crowd had to be there. Luckily, my show went really well. Yeah. Like, I'm really proud
of
it.
They were talking about yours when I went up to film mine. The next day when I went to go film mine, they were talking about your special.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I'm excited for it. I'm super critical of it. I've watched it like 2 times only, bro, to send notes back. Each time I watch it, I find something else that I'm like, ugh.
So cringe watching myself, bro.
Everybody who's seen it says nothing but great things. Good. And that means a lot. So I'm excited to show people. Yeah.
I'm terrified. I kind of want to scrap mine.
Word?
Yeah. Because you know what it was? For me? I found out that I was shooting this probably not even 5 weeks out. It might have been like 4.5 weeks.
Beat that, bro. It's 2 weeks. I learned about my special 2 weeks before it, bro.
Damn.
2 weeks.
But it was stuff you were already working on?
It was stuff I had been working on, but did I feel like it was ready to tape?
Yeah.
Did I feel like I had the closer? Like, no. I was still sort of up in the air about a lot of those things, but those are decisions that I literally just had to make and commit to. And I did it, and I think I have a really good body of work.
Now, you're an amazing writer. You've written on a number of things with yourself and a collaborative process like Wildin' Out. And then I think you worked with Sydney on,
the show on HBO. A lot of award shows,
Game
too,
Theory,
right?
BET Awards, Hip Hop Awards.
Bomani,
Nice.
Bomani Jones, Game Theory was on HBO. Mm-hmm. That was it was a sports show. It was a late night sports show. Mm-hmm. They was taking a shot at something different, which was dope. It was a great opportunity to have. It kind of put me in the seat of where I wanted to be for so long. Like, writing sketches and stuff like that was something that I did because I didn't know how to do the films and shows and shit yet, right? So being in that seat, getting to experience that, and then seeing what that was like was a dream come true, but it definitely gave me perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That how so? I wasn't ready for.
Which way? Like, perspective on like what you want to do or how you need to do what you want to do?
Across the board, really. Like, truth be told, you guys, you experience shit in this business, right? I don't know if I can curse or not, but like,
yeah, fuck you.
Right, like we've all had our hand in entertainment and TV or whatever, and YouTube versus TV. And what I learned is that you kind of just like, it doesn't matter how high up that ladder you get on whatever other platform it is, if it's not your own, like you just cannot control anything.
Yeah.
You cannot control what the end outcome is. You can't control how people view the material. You can't control how people deliver it. And it's just like, yo, like, it was literally a fight to make the show funny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a fight to get jokes in. And I'm like, damn, this is weird. Like, what are we doing? Are we trying to make this a fun show or
not? What was the fight? Because everything had to be so PC or what?
Mostly because when it gets to, you know, say like a company that's a big fucking company,
any company that has legal.
Any company that has legal, any company that has money, any company that has status or whatever, they want to control, bro. And so they hire executives to control and go do their bidding. And these executives may or may not know what it is that they're even doing. They're just pulling up to a job like, what we got to do today?
Right.
And sometimes they like what they see. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they want to have their hands in everything. And if everyone's not aligned, that's another problem. It's like there's too many cooks. There's too many decisions to be made. So
it sucks when, and you see it the most in entertainment, that they want our rhythm but don't want our blues.
Right.
They want the black views, they want the black eyes, they want the black dollars, but they don't want to embrace our culture from a realistic standpoint. They would rather water it down. And I you know, whether that's to make it more digestible for our counterparts, our white and Asian counterparts, or whether that's just because they don't want to fully embrace us, whatever the reason is, it definitely comes off inauthentic. It has to be you in.
Yeah, he's like, no, not authentic.
Inauthentic.
Not
bro.
Authentic.
Yeah, I couldn't even bro. Say it with the UN in front of it.
But
I get
what you're going. What he's saying is like, what I think he's tapping in on is something that's a much bigger problem we ain't gonna get into right now, because then we go have a fucking civil rights talk. But like, it's the idea of like, you're not qualified or equal until you act accordingly or do a certain thing
fall in line and
become a certain image that I accept, that I think is okay, versus just being your natural self.
Yes.
It's a whole wash type situation that's going on with content or just creativity in general. Like, across the board, that shit's been happening for decades.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing new.
I just found this video. I came across this video, and in the last episode, we were talking with the homie Nick Few, and he was talking about how, like, if you have a black fan base and you're authentic black, that's great, because it's so hard for us to be impressed by others.
Right.
And I saw this video of this guy named Blind Tom, and he's born to the Bethune family, white slave owners, and his kid was born blind, and he was autistic, but he could hear music and copy it to a T. I think he wrote his first song at 4 or 5, and by 6 he was playing in front of crowds. And he grew up to have major success, but he wasn't accepted by the whites because he was still black.
Right.
They in articles they related his talent to that of a gifted dog or horse.
That's crazy.
Right?
Damn.
That's crazy. The audacity.
Like, right. But he's like, but I can play the piano.
Yeah. Not only could he play the piano, in the video on him, they were saying that he could play one song with one hand, play another song with the other hand, and sing a completely different song. So three different songs are going on. Mm-hmm. And he would bring people on stage and have them try to play songs or their most complicated songs. And he would listen to it, call out every note that they played, even the mess ups. Then he would go over and play the songs from memory and by ear. Like, just
Jesus,
immensely
talented.
And they
were like, that's like a gifted horse.
Right.
Right. Can you imagine how infuriating that would be to be able to play two different songs with your hands and hear music and be blind? And the motherfucker be like, yeah, it's like a gifted dog.
Yeah. It's like, but like, humans can't do this.
You can't do this.
They said that he made probably, or the bookings that he would have made would have been equivalent to like $3.2 million by today's money. However, he was probably getting paid $1,000 a month by today's standard.
Damn.
And that would go into him and his family when he got that much. Mm-hmm. The rest of the money was going to his slave owners.
Of course.
Oh, damn, I forgot this was during slavery.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
You're like, wait, was this 2019?
I thought this was like 1920s or something.
So the black community didn't accept him because he's playing for these white people and they're talking down on him, talking down about us, but he's sharing our culture to them. So the black community was like, well, fuck with you. Like, right. Uncle Tom, man. Right. And the white community is like, oh, he's like a gifted dog.
Yeah. That's so nuts. What do you do?
He just kept on playing until he died. But yeah, man, that was just it just goes to show you like how they want our culture. They want to be entertained by us, but they still don't accept us. They still don't look at us as equals. It's just a crazy place to be in, and I can't imagine how alone he must have felt not being accepted by either community and being blind.
Right.
All he had was the music.
That's crazy, yo. You can't even see. You can't even distract yourself with shit you can, like, see. And, like, you gotta listen.
You're only hearing shit talking.
All you're hearing is bigotry and piano keys.
And
your whole life.
Slap the keys, nigga.
Black or white. He doesn't even know why you don't like
him. Yeah, right. He can't even see his skin color.
Oh, he don't know what he looked like.
That's like Clayton Bigsby. But, like, wholesome.
That's great. That is a wholesome Clayton Bigsby.
That's nuts. That is very confusing. You're like, I thought you guys... cheer when I play, though.
He had to be the most angry nigga in history. Like, more mad than Dick Gregory type angry. Like, Dick Gregory was one mad nigga.
Man, let me tell you something. Dick Gregory. But he was talking shit.
He was mad because he was aware. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem with awareness. The more aware you become about shit.
He's like that Harriet Tubman man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Leaving niggas who can't open up their mind to see the importance of escaping to the North to try to fight for your freedom. Hitting babies in the head with a butt of rifles because it's like, hey, listen, this baby got shit up. If it can't, I'm going to shut it up.
This is going to sound crazy, but like that had to be a great decade to be alive.
What?
For Harriet Tubman.
Oh.
Right?
What you mean?
Because she was not fucking around.
No, she wasn't.
Like, nah. If I'm running through the woods trying to escape slavery and the motherfucker betray me or start talking shit and I pull a shotgun on him or shoot him and I get away with it, like, bro, you know how crazy of an era that had to be?
I never really thought about it. Like, that is kind of crazy.
People already, like, her reputation precedes her, so she go on bars. They're like, hey, yeah, drinks on me all night.
She knew she was that nigga.
It was like, a no-bullshit era. Like, you couldn't bullshit anybody back then.
Bro, she getting ready, listening to Tupac, putting a bandana on.
Listening to Tupac's crazy.
Yo, who was a Tupac in the slave
up until... She put those sweatpants under the dress because she's still a fucking lady.
She had to have some type of arrogance.
I mean,
like, I put up numbers this year. You know what I'm saying?
I put up numbers.
She had. We know her stats, so you know she did.
You had to have arrogance to try to escape slavery
multiple times and then go back.
Yeah,
right. And try to help people and save people. Like, I got a route. Like,
yeah. Damn. Hey, listen. And by the way, for those that might want to look up the story about Blind Tom, his last name was Wiggins, so it's Blind Tom Wiggins. And
Tom Wiggins.
He was so good at playing the piano. His slave master saw how well he was able to adjust and listen to the stuff that he actually got him lessons in. In a year's time, he surpassed his piano teacher's knowledge. Like, they had nothing else to teach him. And that's how he started doing, like, the La Parla tricks and stuff.
That's crazy that talent, like, trumps everything, like racism, everything. They're like, this is my slave.
To a certain degree.
But this nigga's good.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm giving you lessons. No freedom, though.
Yeah. No freedom, and also.
But lessons.
Right. I'm going to take some of that money. Okay?
I want you to hone this craft.
And no, you can't buy your freedom.
Let's
not do that.
Right.
But yeah, man, it was a crazy time, man. Before we go on, man, we have this tradition where we do an intro song, freestyle it.
Okay.
Pat kicks it off. I do the beat and he passes it to you. The only rule is we try to rhyme at some point, damning it that you're scary with something. So it can be like, got a bad chick named Mary, bitch is allergic to dairy, damning it that you're scary. It doesn't have to be good. We prefer it don't be good because we're not going to make it good at all. This is not Five Fingers of Death. This is just tradition.
right.
We literally tax.
The stakes.
There's no, don't exist.
Right. It could be rap. It could be opera. It could be reggae. Actually, we haven't done reggae in a while, so maybe just do some reggae.
Okay.
And just reggae. Yeah, man. Yeah, like, that's exactly. Yeah. Right, with the comedy. Yeah, damn. Okay, you know.
Since you're from Compton, we could do something from Compton. Who else we got from Compton? We got Kendrick.
It's a big one. Yeah, you got Ice Cube. You got Ice Cube. NWA, you got Dre. You got, well, you don't got.
Yeah. Well, Dre, yeah. Okay, so Dre, what's a good Dre song?
We can stick to the reggae. It don't
you
matter.
You sure? Yeah. Okay. All right. Fuck it. Here we go. It's like you don't got to put me in a box.
Yeah. Right.
You know. Put some cops on that day again. Hey, you want a pistol while you rap? Right. Okay. Here we go. Damn. I had the Bob Marley song in my head. Which one? But I can't think of it right here.
Was it jamming? Go-to.
Yeah, I love jamming, but I can't get that beat. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that's close. Sound like ice cream truck.
Yeah, I know. I'm just gonna do some like club reggae shit, some dance hall.
Oh, Beanie Man reggae. Yeah, brother.
Beanie Man reggae.
Bop, bop.
Beanie Man reggae.
We got another episode of Damn Internet You Scary. I got dreads, then they hairy. We gon' kick it off. Like this, like this. Bop, 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 bop. Hey,
talk to
I'm
this girl
rap
named...
slow. If you cold, then we got Jay Snow. Hey, he came through to say hello. I'm about to pass the threshold. This nigga here just recorded his special.
Yeah.
Hey. So what you got to say? I'ma pass it off to Jay. Hey.
Hey. I just shot my special.
Hey.
I just told jokes and they were special.
Pop, pop, pop.
Pop, pop. Goes the gun sound. Then somebody go down.
Go down.
They start shedding tears.
Tears.
There is their worst fear.
There's fear.
She's like, oh my God, this is scary. Damn, I fucked up the whole rhyme.
Hey, here, that is great.
I know he hates it. He hates all of my, everybody hates all of my accents, but they're fucking amazing. The moment you guys accept that, the moment your life will be better.
Right.
Fucking amazing. All right, we got some dope ass stories for you guys today, man.
Wow.
We're going to jump into a lot of this shit, man, try to get as much of it done as possible. We never make it through all of them for the Runner Show, but shout out to Hippie for always doing an amazing Runner Show.
Come on, Hip.
What up, y'all? This episode is brought to you by one of our favorite companies to work with, Blue Chew, okay? If you've watched the show, you know what Blue Chew is and what the deal is with it. But if not, let me put you on. Let me make your sex life that much better, okay? Blue Chew is putting its money where its mouth is and offering you a free month of Blue Chew tablets that were made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door. You could take them anytime, day or night. And the best part is it's all done online. That means no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, okay? Now, the process is simple. All you got to do is sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you've approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Now, I know what you're thinking. Does it work? Okay? Does it really make your sex life that much better? Okay? Look. You'll be mistaken for a soldier the way you pulling up with that full salute, okay? You about to take off in a pocket rocket once you start using the Blue Chew tablets. I mean, I'm a huge fan. As soon as we first started working with them, we were like, all right, we'll check it out. We don't really need it, but we'll check it out. We have been faithful customers since. I know this is an ad for the show, but no, we are paying customers because, like I said, just try it out. Just try it out. I promise you, you will not regret it. Blue Chew is a great time. You can just find out for yourself with a month free. There's really no reason not to set yourself up, you know, for a better time in the bedroom. Why not? Why wouldn't you do it? We can all relate to wanting to feel more confident, especially in the bedroom. So Blue Chew can help. So we're here to help you out. How you gonna do it? We've got a special deal for you guys, okay? Your first month of Blue Chew is going to be free. So visit BlueChew.com for more detailed and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, one more time. Make life easier by getting harder and discover your options at BlueChew.com.
I think we want to start with the Southwest Pilot because they got a deal starting next month in March where the tickets are on sale. And I wonder fucking why.
That
Southwest Airlines pilot removed before flight arrested on DUI charges.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild as fuck.
Yeah, so the pilot was pulled from the cockpit before takeoff after alleged alcohol smell. Pilot was removed from duty and arrested for allegedly being intoxicated just before a scheduled flight from Savannah, Georgia to Chicago on Wednesday. Authorities acted after noticing signs that raised concerns about the pilot's fitness to fly, including the smell of alcohol. They got some pictures of the guy right here. According to the sources, David Paul Alsop, who was scheduled to captain Southwest Flight 3772 bound for Chicago's Midway Airport, was removed from the cockpit by airport police in Savannah. The incident caused disruption for passengers, but they were accommodated on other flights, which means they got peanuts and 500 free points. The employee has been removed from duty, a Southwest Airlines spokesperson stated in response to the incident. Customers were accommodated on other flights and apologized for the disruption to their travel plans. To read the full rest of the log, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right.
That's why.
I think this happens way more than we think.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I personally don't think that flight from Denzel Washington was that far off.
Because
they'd be in there for hours.
It probably made more drunk pilots like that movie. Encourage people to be like, well, fuck it.
Well, I could do that.
You know? No, he just fucked up because he had one too many. You got to stop at six.
I think how drunk you got to be to, like, he smelled so intoxicated that they pulled him off the plane. Like, you know, like you said, how many pilots fly drunk already?
Yeah.
And we're just like having our families on
these
planes.
Yeah, when that shit started coming out of your pores, that means you've been sitting there at the bar drinking for a while. You know what I mean?
Could that have been that morning?
Well, it could have been a thing where, like, one potentially covering a shift depending on how many hours he had logged on his last trip, because pilots aren't supposed to fly after a certain amount of hours. They have to take a break, just like truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a log, so they have to take that rest, and he could have just took that rest and just been drinking the whole time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, fuck it, all right, I'm ready to go. Or he could have been staying at the airport. But even when you stay at the airport, like, to potentially, like, have to switch planes or something like that and it's delayed, if you are on the clock for a certain amount of time, they have to clock out. They can't fly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's one of those things where he was off and he just got hammered and then just tried to go in. Because if it to be coming off of you, like, out of your pores, and like people smell it on you, not just on your breath, that shit's coming through your pores. That means you've been drinking for a couple hours and it's had a chance to, like, run through your system and now it's protruding out. Like, that's crazy. And the fact that somebody think that they would fly like that, regardless of how often, how seasoned you are as a pilot, you still have all of these souls in the palm of your hands. And granted, there's not as many planes in the sky as it is cars on the road, but you can also get your driver's license at 16, and you're not going to get your pilot's license at 16. Not enough to, like, manage a commercial flight. You know what I mean? Like, that comes with age and wisdom
hours,
and responsibility for a reason, because there's so many people's lives at stake. And that, not even just the people's lives on a plane. What if you crash into a building? What if you crash into a highway? What if, you know what I'm saying, a cruise ship, whatever. Like, it's so many things to take into account. So, like,
I can't wait to see this movie starring Tom Hanks.
Which one?
I know he's going to do this. It's going to be Southwest.
We already did one. He did the one with what was the guy's name that landed on the Hudson River?
Sully. He did that one. Mm-hmm. Him and Clint Eastwood, they be recreating these white men in movies all day, boy.
Clint Eastwood really got in his directing bag, though.
Yeah,
like, he, at the Gran Torino, he was just like, yeah, this is easy work.
Right.
And I'm sure he did more before that, but, like, Gran Torino was just like, that shit was good. And
that's funny. There's a whole, like, generation of boomers watching this. Like, a lot before that, nigga, Clint Eastwood was probably, like, the young, I guess, George Clooney of his time.
Yeah, he was a total badass,
cowboy.
Too.
Yeah.
He was, like, I would say Jason Statham.
You think so?
No, he was always than that.
No, I'm saying, like, as far as the action. George Clooney, you never really see him fight outside of the Batman movie. He's always just a cool, suave guy. Clint Eastwood was a gun-toting badass.
Well, I always felt like Bruce Willis was his predecessor.
Maybe.
In terms of
Bruce Willis.
Because he was also shot like a cowboy in all his movies.
Yeah, Bruce Willis was.
Whole,
yeah, that's
squint
a good one.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. I would say that's close. Him or Harrison Ford. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, for sure.
Harrison Ford didn't really shoot that much, right? Like in Indiana Jones, he had a couple handguns, a couple revolvers and shit like that.
I feel like Han Solo, yeah, you lasers, know? You know,
yeah.
Space cowboys,
shot right, differently.
Right. That's real nigga shit. Real nigga shit. respect. Right, well, you're right.
Nah, that's I can only imagine being on a plane and like, cause you know, if he was probably, it was probably a little commotion. It probably wasn't like you too drunk, and he just like all right, and dipped. So do they just like all right, our pilot was drunk, we're gonna get you another one. Like, I'd be like, oh my God.
What if they tell the passengers? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because they said they took him out of the cockpit. So did the police take him, or did they just say, hey, get off the plane?
Probably don't. Right. The airport police would have to come on because they are going to be the ones that like relieve him or do, especially if he was the pilot and not the co-pilot. Then it would have to be the airport police to come
but
on.
Probably like, I'm fine, get off me.
Do you think they would let, yo, just get off the plane? You know
I don't think they would arrest him. I don't think they would arrest him on the plane. I think they would have scored him off before.
But that's still crazy to see.
Oh, yeah, you see that shit.
Yeah, your pilot come through the door and leave.
I'm not even
and
that messed
And then somebody
up.
Else walk in and get on. You're like, yo, what the fuck is happening right now?
What other pilots are here?
And you're still delayed.
Have y'all ever heard the joke? It was like, so everybody's sitting on a plane, and then the pilot walks on, and he's got a walking stick, and the first stewardess goes up, and she's like, ladies and gentlemen, our pilot is here. He is totally blind, but trust me, he's a very seasoned pilot. He has a number of flights under his belt and no crashes whatsoever, right? So he goes in the cockpit, sits down. Then the co-pilot comes on, same thing, glasses on, sticks and all of that
type
of stuff.
The co-pilot blind too?
Right? It's like, that's ladies and gentlemen, our co-pilot has just arrived. We're about to take off soon. As you can see, he's completely blind as well. But nothing to fear here. He has hundreds of flights under his belt and never had any issues whatsoever. Boom. So they go and taking off. Plane is on the runway. It's picking up speed. Plane hasn't taken off.
They let
that happen?
A couple
minutes and it's taking off. So people start screaming. And as soon as they start screaming, the plane lifts up. Go to the cockpit, and the two pilots is like, whoo, the moment they start screaming, oh, stop screaming, we're fucked.
No. What?
The screams alert them to take off, to pull up.
Oh, okay. I thought this was something that actually, like a prank.
No, it was a joke. It was a joke. I was like, have y'all heard the joke about the two blind pilots?
I thought this was like a prank. I was like, man, this went really far.
Yeah, for a second, once you got the takeoff, I was like, wait, this happened?
They let the takeoff happen? Niggas pointed the wrong way on the runway.
That's
shit.
Wild.
All the players landed like, what the fuck is this? I have to go back up.
So that's I wonder crazy. If a passenger is the one who snitched on the pilot, because all it says is he allegedly smelled like alcohol.
I think the stewardess also would say something.
Absolutely.
Because
who
would even believe a passenger? Like, he smells like alcohol or whatever. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, sit the fuck down. Right?
Yeah. When were they talking? Your seat?
Sit your non-point having ass down.
Sometimes the pilots stand there. Well, they usually at the end they do, but sometimes in the beginning they'll be.
Yeah,
there too.
Sometimes they do, but most times they check.
Not if
you're
drunk though.
Yeah, yeah.
That nigga's like, I gotta sit down.
He's drunk. He's definitely hiding.
This nigga drunk. He went and sat in the passenger seat. He's like, the controls.
He's in first class. This nigga like, oh,
this is nice.
Oh,
this nigga trying to get. Nigga trying to get more drinks. He took the hat off and hit it on his jacket. He's like,
we get
a champagne.
We get a whiskey.
Fuck in a cockpit.
Yes, thank you.
We get a whiskey before I. I feel like every time I get on a plane, I'm going to be looking at the... Because usually you're just like, hey, don't kill us. But now I'm going to just be like...
Right, they be standing there trying to look all kind and wave you on. I'm be like, nigga, what's going on? What you been eating before?
Hey, greet me, my boy.
Yeah, like, yeah,
no, the best is after, to... when you're walking out and they be posing like,
right,
yeah, nigga.
Nigga's grateful to be alive.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's like after comedy shows when y'all be outside. Like, yeah, I just made y'all niggas laugh. Was good. Say bye to me on the way out.
Right, yeah, hell yeah.
So much has changed because the whole purpose of that initially was to sell DVDs and CDs. So you're staying out there. Yeah, because you're out there trying to sell your merch. You got your t-shirts, you got your DVDs, you got your CDs. So you stand out there as a visual cue, like, hey, instead of buying online, making me ship this to you, why don't you go ahead and grab this down and then go get a discount. Then it went to like, hey, I'm outside, follow me, let's connect, pull out your phone, Instagram, right there. Now it's just like, hey, what you bitches finna do?
Damn, that's crazy.
Trying to get on some dick or what was that?
I got in, but I like right after the DVD shirt part. I thought niggas just hung out after the goddamn show.
I did too.
I'm like, yo, this was a thing.
They were trying to get them numbers up, and I was also trying to see what's popping after the show. But for the most part, like I was hustling at the Comedy Union, selling my DVDs out there, and niggas was walking by me like I wasn't on stage giving it my all. Yeah, niggas looked at me like a ghost. I felt like I was Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense. Niggas just walking right through me. I was like, goddamn, niggas, give me a chance.
Do comics turn creepy on the way out?
Some niggas are always creepy.
Yeah. And they're just like, hey, what's up? What's up?
Some people just creepy.
Yeah, some people just creepy. Like, and creepy. That just it enhances it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like it's always weird when you could tell the nigga that never was cool in school, and now that he has some notoriety, it's going to his head. Mm. You see it with niggas that like, you know, get chicks and like especially comedy. Like, it's different with rap because like they always have the money and it's a different type of allure and mystery surrounding and shrewding them. But with comedy, when the nigga is funny or halfway funny, that's the thing. It's like, it don't even be like the super funny niggas. It be the niggas that be halfway funny, like just got in comedy just so they could get in the club for free and they got like a hot three. Right, be out there like, yeah, ladies, what's up? Y'all should follow me. And I be like, shut the fuck up, man. Shut the fuck up, bro. Like, maybe that's all the man. Jay Snow has wrote on so many shows and award shows and hit shows, and he still has the humility to go up and introduce himself to the book. I saw him do it at the Laugh Factory out in San Diego, and she wasn't familiar with it, so she asked other comics to vouch when she asked me. I was like, no, this motherfucker is legit. Yeah. But he has the humility to do that. Even before she was like, I don't know you, he went up and introduced himself.
To do what?
Introduce himself to the booker, to the club owner.
People don't do that?
These motherfuckers walk in with so much entitlement.
Oh, you don't know me?
Yeah.
You don't know my followers?
Yeah, like, yeah. I got 300,000 followers. Like, so the fuck what? You don't have a hot three.
That's crazy.
You don't have a hot five. We leave you up there for 10 minutes. You'll commit suicide on minute 7.
Hello costs you nothing, though. Bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, my name is, it costs you nothing.
And it helps you because, like, when you do that, because it is so not normal, you make an impression on somebody.
That's crazy.
When you build that and establish that connection. Yes, but people don't do. People walk in, hey, what's up? What's like that? You don't know this motherfucker.
Right.
And you know you see them here every time. Maybe you should know their name so they can help you with parking. Or if it's Pat and they don't have room for comics, but they recognize you and be like, hey, we packed tonight, fellas. Hey, you can come, though. Because that's how it was for me when I first started doing it at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. If you weren't one of the comics that they knew, or like somebody, one of the hosts didn't bring you in, you weren't getting in on those packed nights. The nights where they have three shows, the niggas ain't letting you in.
Right.
And standing room only, fast talk, we ain't got no room for comics. Right. And it was a thing there and at the store and at the, especially at the Improv on Monday night on D-Ray night.
Yeah.
Oh, you hang out in the bar area, you ain't getting in that showroom though, my boy. Right. Who are you again?
Buy a ticket.
Yeah. And you got how many followers? Oh, so you can afford a ticket. Buy a ticket.
That's for comics and people just coming to see the show.
They were letting comics in, bro.
But on normally, if it's not like super packed, comics don't buy tickets for each other's show. They just kind of walk in.
Now, it's kind of like an understanding. Like it's kind of like if you were a rapper in the city, I'm a rapper in the city. I come out and support you, but I'm there as you know, like support you. Like,
but I advocate for that shit. Mm-hmm. I think it should be more comics to just like throw a bone, be like, here, I bought a ticket, or I bought someone a ticket, or you know what I'm saying, give this to somebody, like. I do hate that, though, when it is, like, an important show. Like, for my special, for example, I'm sending a link out. I had 2 weeks to promote the shit, right?
Right.
I'm sending a link out. People are like, I'm buying tickets. I bought 5. Give them to somebody. I'm like, nigga, that's not going to help the special. I'm going to have a whole empty front row. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't 50 cent me. Like, come to the show. If it's a taping, come.
Right.
If it's some regular
taping
Sunday night.
Taping and birthdays.
You know what I'm saying?
Anniversaries for your stage. Like, those are things people have to come out to, and they typically come out for. But, yeah, it's hard, man. Like, that's why I don't want a weekly again. I miss it. Oh my God, I would love to have a weekly, but I would need a producer and probably a co-host, and we could switch off hosting throughout the show, or we can host 1 week and then you host the next week. But I can't do that shit by myself, right? Because I was watching this video. This guy made this video about the show Severance on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking amazing. Really good show.
I haven't finished it.
And he was like, yo, this show should be so much bigger, but it's a couple things. Severance. One, Severance is on Apple TV, which is probably the lowest stream platform as far as like subscribers. Two, there's so much fucking content out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's no way to digest everything that's out or even hear about every good thing that's out. And it sucks because there's somebody that wants to be an actor. It's like, man, this is what I want to do. But, like, how do you cut through the noise?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's so much. And when you're not on the streaming sites, then there's social media.
Yeah.
There's YouTube. And there's the next, whatever the next balloon pop show is dropping this week. It's like, how do I do that?
We talked about that earlier. I think it all comes back to just self-producing shit. If mm-hmm. it's really something that you're passionate about, if it's something that, like, you won't leave you alone, like, mm-hmm. it's up to you to figure out a way to make that shit real. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, it channeled you for a reason. You feel
That's
me?
True.
Right.
And I have these, I just have these bouts sometimes where frustration just arises. It's like, why am I even trying to do this?
Right.
Shit? I mean, I love it, and I know it will never stop, but it's like, it does hit a point where you feel like you hit a glass ceiling. I'm like, how do I get to that next level? I see it. I know what I want from it. It's not just about the success and the monetary success. That's helpful, but
I love this.
How do I make my talent and what I love to do available for the masses so it can help them or prevent them from doing something to themselves or provide them ease at the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of a long month? Like, that's all I want
to
do.
You know what helped me with that? Because I struggle with that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Especially wanting to do films specifically, being that the film industry is what it is and that it's so hard to get into, so hard to get someone to drop that first domino to mm-hmm. invest in your shit. And then the road to getting it in a place where people can see it is crazy. But the thing that sort of gives me the fuel to keep going is knowing that the fact that it exists is enough, right? Like, but that has to be so purpose-driven. Like, that has to come from within.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will override any fucking doubt, wall, obstacle, any person or whatever. And it has time and time again in history. It shows it. But if you can't find that thing that just, like, drives it beyond reason,
mm-hmm.
then it's probably not that idea. It's probably not there or whatever, because that idea, it won't, like, nothing will stop.
It's a guy,
you know
light.
What I'm saying? Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about, that exists? The fact that it exists is enough? You're talking about the idea?
I think, yeah. Because think about it. Like, how many things exist that the person who created it really didn't get to enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they died early. Maybe they went on to a different fucking thing and it caught wind later. A song that catches wind mm-hmm. 6 months or a year after it came out, or a movie or whatever. Like, those movies and things exist and they still serve their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They still met those people and it still helped those people. Mm-hmm. It maybe didn't happen during your time. Mm-hmm. It maybe didn't happen when you wanted it to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it happened. You know
That's
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, like, your memory, your legacy, whatever the fuck you want it to be, will live on mm-hmm. through that. It's how I see it.
I think about that a lot too, but it's also, that's crazy. I think about that a lot, but I feel like there's a huge part of me that's like, it can't happen like
right now. Like, I want to show these, like, motherfuckers.
Like Van Gogh. Like, Van Gogh was broke his whole life.
Never made it. Right.
And it's like
his
paintings, like, it's taught in schools. Right. People would, like, try to imitate it.
That
he got museums.
Yeah.
And he's like, nigga, I died with one ear broke.
And bitchless. I cut my ear off. I'm a bitch. My bitch still didn't want me.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it is a, I would take that over nothing, you know, because it's like, at least that impacted how I would want it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a huge, like, there's like a good 70% of me that's like, man, at least let me see it.
But you know what? This is, and I thank you for that, because that's a great way of looking at the whole acting thing. What has been providing me a lot of peace and grace and comfort as far as comedy is, I thought about this a couple months ago, and it brought me just such tranquility.
Mm.
We, as comedians, we all want to be Dave, Kev, like, fame, not fame-wise, but, like, success-wise. I really don't give a fuck about the fame. I long as the work's getting done and people are benefiting from it. But everybody can't afford Dave's prices. Everybody can't afford Kevin's tours. Everybody can't afford Cat Williams' tour. What we do on the level that we at is such a help to people that can't afford those things
mm-hmm.
or don't have access to those things or don't have the time to go out of town because that tour is not coming to their city. We provide such a blessing. We are literal superheroes.
Right.
We take events that may have been rooted in trauma, flip it to a way where it's amusing to us and humorous to an unknown audience that never experienced, but maybe can relate to it because a friend did or family member did, or just because you crafted this shit so well that they felt like they were a part of it.
Right.
That's a fucking superhero. Mm. And the fact that we are providing this, because there are way more of us than there are Kevins and Daves and Cats.
Right.
We are doing this shit on a weekly, daily, hourly basis. We're going to Vegas and performing at these shows. There's one club that books you for like 5 days or 7 days. And sometimes it's 30 people there, sometimes it's 100, sometimes it's 10, whatever.
Right.
But if it's 10 there, they're there because they want to be there. There's right. tons of shit you can do in Vegas. If they wanted to go to a comedy club, I mean, they need that right there.
Right.
And whether it's 10 or 10,000, you're providing a fucking release for these people. And that is amazing.
It's true. And I like that. I hold on to that. It's tough to hold on to that it sometimes. Is. Especially when a motherfucker in your comments saying some wild shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it like, that is, I think, what people should hold on to more, though, is the service of it all.
Mm-hmm.
The being of service, being useful with your art, with your voice. But again, like, you know, it's hard to think about that when you have, you know, who's in office or bills at your fucking door or whatever, you know. But so, yeah, I agree. I think that's a great point.
I think that's even more testament and proof of our superpower.
Right.
Because in the midst of everything going on, I remember I went to Chocolate Sundays this past Sunday and the Sunday before. The Sunday before is when the fires were at the height, like in the city. Yeah. And Ron still had to host. And I pulled him to the side. I was like, bro, you're doing an amazing job to be able to compartmentalize everything that's going on in L.A. right now, everything that's going on with the elections and all of this shit going on. And then just the fact that he's a husband and a father.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, you know, again, with us wanting to be higher in our journey, to be able to compartmentalize all this ancillary shit and then go up there and still perform at a fucking A1 level.
Yeah.
It's fucking superpower, bro.
Bro, I saw something on another podcast. It was with Dave, and he was talking about, I think the person who was hosting the podcast was talking about how awesome his story was and how he walked away from the 50 million, went to Africa, all this other shit, and everybody looks at him coming back, doing the Netflix specials, getting his money back, getting back on that level. And people are like, yo, that's badass. You tough. You this, you that. And he said so clearly. It was like, yeah, people say that, but it's like you don't want to know what it took to be me. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't think about the days where he wasn't in the limelight, where he was like, am I fucking crazy?
Right.
Or people were
and
saying,
people
wow.
were saying he you was know fucking what I'm saying? Crazy. How the fuck you walk
those
away from $50 million?
Those days are what make Dave Dave.
Yeah.
And that's what is dope. And that's what you're talking about. It's like people don't see those days that you don't want to fucking get out of bed, or you just, you feel like you crashed the car or some shit. You know, like, all of those things that make you human are, you know, what make you a superhuman in a way. And I agree, in short. It's a long way to say I agree.
No, it's great. Yeah, it's highlighting other areas of that same thing, because, you know, sometimes it takes hearing it from a different viewpoint to understand the main purpose. It's the same way when your parents would tell you something and you didn't listen, but a friend or a friend of your parents would tell you something, you're like, oh, I get it. Sometimes you just got to hear from a different angle, see it from a different angle.
Well, also, tickets sold don't mean, like, more tickets sold doesn't mean funnier. Yeah. I think that's another cool thing about being in a business where it's like your output is different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't, just to raise that up, like, it's not even just about like, oh, I can't afford Dave, we can only afford this. It's like, you guys can't leave out the fact that there people might prefer you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just about like a ticket price thing. It could be like, no, I would rather see Tahir than Dave. Yeah. I would rather see Snow than Kevin Hart. You know, I think that's something that you can't really omit to.
Yeah.
You
know? That's true. Especially, the higher you get up, I mean, unless you're David Katt, the more restrictive you are.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like when the more successful you are with like partnerships and brands and stuff like that, you have to be so careful. You're a fucking surgeon with your words now, because you don't want to say anything that'll get you canceled or jeopardize your brand deals, right?
Right.
But if somebody like Kat or Dave, they don't give a fuck. They are doing it surely for expressing themselves, for the love of it, and the businesses that want to fuck with them are going to fuck with them regardless.
Now look at those paths though. The difference between a Kev path where you're like watching what you say, what you do, how you act. Versus a Dave or Kat path, where it's like they get this freedom, right? They're still getting deals and whatnot, but they get the freedom to sort of be themselves, be a little rough around the edges. And look at the past. Look at like how tumultuous one was versus the other.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, like, which would you rather be? Like, would you rather be this put together deity or whatever that is like holier than thou and can't fuck up? Or would you rather be this rugged, rough, you know, kind of put together, kind of not, but could get deals, could not person mm-hmm. that is a little more authentic in the end. I would rather go with the latter, honestly. Like,
yeah,
even though it's a harder road,
it gives you mm-hmm. more freedom at the end.
It gives you more freedom at the end. Like, when you have all the shit you want to have, what do you want to be able to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be able to really enjoy that shit and, like, get drunk with your friends on camera?
I think you fuck up less, too. It's way less likely to fuck up because you're not in costume, really, you know?
Right.
So it's like you might get less brand deals, but it's also like if you say some wild stuff on Twitter, like Dave, if he tweeted some wild shit, as long as it wasn't like crazy, crazy wild, but I mean, not even. His past few specials, he was actually specifically going for shit that you're not supposed to talk about. And people will, like, be like, okay, that's Dave, as opposed to somebody who isn't supposed to say anything. One foul slip. They crash.
Mm-hmm. Let Dwayne Johnson say any of Dave Chappelle's jokes and watch his fucking castle come crashing down, bro.
Damn.
Bro, you know, the way The Rock Johnson is so fucking successful, impactful, and influential, this motherfucker is he's selling shampoo.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow. He don't got no hair. Yeah.
He has a shampoo. Body wash, face wash line. There's advertising for the shampoo. But that's how fucking influential he is.
I don't even have this stuff.
See, back to the two roads. That's the fucked up part about the other road is that you'll just get to a point where people are throwing deals at you. I just mm-hmm. want your name on this shampoo. I don't have hair. We don't give a fuck. Like, damn, I would love that, but I don't want to have to sell my soul for it.
Bro, it's called...
That's wild.
Papatua? I think it's like a Hawaiian name, but Papatua, because they sell it at Target, and they have body wash. They got a Cedar Sport men's body care bundle.
He should have got like his Samoan family with the hair.
Right. It should look like his character on whatever that movie is.
Shampoo and conditioner.
That's crazy. Papa Tua. And he got photos where he's touching his bald head. Like,
hilarious. Hilarious.
That's nuts.
The power of marketing, bro. When you play, you know, if you're able to play by their rules, and I don't think The Rock is the type of, I haven't got the impression from him he is a pushover.
No.
I've got the impression that he's a superstar and brands want to be attached to him. So, mm-hmm. you know, but.
He can't also, be a pushover. He's too intimidating.
He's also, you know. He's not as dark skinned. Like, and I really feel like that makes a difference too. I'm not taking anything away from like he's a global superstar. Global superstar. It's him and Snoop Dogg that they're two people where it's not a lot of places on earth they can go to and not be recognized. I mean, and that says a lot.
One of the biggest differences between Dwayne Johnson and Terry Crews is the rock bottom. Like, they're not too far apart. Let's be honest. You know, so the people's
just
elbow.
Just the special move?
The people's elbow may have elevated The Rock a bit more. You know what I'm saying?
If the eyebrow got ahead of it, too.
The eyebrow, you know what? You can't.
Because when he would bust it out.
I was trying to do that.
Yeah, that was just. I could never do it. I always ended up doing this.
I was trying to do the eyebrow, yeah.
But no, I think that Terry Crews, what's weird about like mainstream acting, just from what I've seen, is like, there are some actors who are completely different in every movie, but a lot of them is like, what's your actual personality and how much can I use that in like different movies?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is why you get like global superstars like Will Smith and Denzel and like a lot of people, Jack Black, who are really a different version of themselves. In different stuff. Yeah. So definitely I think it really comes down to like, what's your base level personality?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like just... If I put Rock in some of Terry Crews' stuff, like in White Chicks, he might have been able to do that, low-key. But I don't know if it's the other way around. Right, like, I think that Rock's base personality is good enough to join wrestling, become the star of that, then join Hollywood and become top of that.
Bro, so crazy.
I feel like his baseline is pretty crazy.
Crazy, bro. Yeah.
Do y'all want some money? Well, now that I got your attention, I'm here to talk to you about our sponsor for the show, Prize Picks. Okay, so what is Prize Picks? I'm sure you've seen it. It's all over the internet. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Okay, with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. All you have to do is just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000
times your cash, okay? So run your game all season long on Prize Picks. I like those odds personally, okay? So the big game, you know, is almost here, okay? This is the last football game of the season, and why not win a little money while you watching it, okay? You're going to be with all your boys, all your friends. You're going to be watching Kendrick Lamar. Why not try to win a little money on the side? I know I am, okay? So don't miss out. Make sure you sign up to Prize Picks, okay? This is the best place to win cash while watching the big game. Prize Picks is also giving away a free pick for the big game where one of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw 1 yard for you to win. You know they go and throw a couple of yards. It's a, they, all they got to do is throw 1 yard, okay? So you might as well. You might as well. It's almost a sure thing, okay? If you're correct on at least one more stat projection, you can win some real cash, okay? I like those chances. I like those chances a lot, okay? So sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5, okay? All you got to do is play $5. You're going to get $50 instantly, okay? You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So it's just like you just cashing out. You're just cashing out all night, okay? So I personally like those odds, okay? And also, you know, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money for the whole football season, okay? Which players are going off, which ones aren't, okay? Make the pick in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks, okay? So I mean, I'm personally thinking that the Eagles are going to win. I think that Philly's going to go. So I'm in there. I got my $50. I'm ready to go. I'm going to be at a watching party, and I'm gonna be invested in the game, but I'm really going to be invested in Prize Picks for that money, okay? Because, I mean, if I walk away with money, you know, that means more to me than one of these teams winning, you know? I don't know them like that. But winning some money on the side, absolutely, okay? So get your money this Super Bowl. Download the app today. Use the code DIYS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. One more time, download the app today. Use the code DIYS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup, okay? Prize Picks. Run your game.
Let me ask you a question. If you had the opportunity to hang out with The Rock, would you do it?
Of course,
right? Yeah, because he seems like a cool person. But it came down to The Rock and Jack Black. Who you want to hang out with?
Damn, that's crazy. I didn't even think that question would
I would. I would think I would pick Jack Black.
I think I could learn more from Jack Black.
Yeah, I think I could learn
that's
more.
That's a good point.
Marketing
I do
wise
love
from The Rock.
D, you know?
I would learn more marketing wise and business wise from The Rock. But I think I would have more fun with Jack Black.
Even marketing and business. I feel like Jack Black. Remember when Kevin was always Kev on stage? He was always talking about how Jack Black is just himself all the time.
Yes.
He never lost weight. He never like he's like himself in Tenacious D movies. And I feel like that he's fucking Bowser, he's Bowser. He's the lead in Minecraft. Like I feel like his versatility is what I would want to learn from.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like The Rock is like leading man, huge dude. You know, star of every movie.
I would go with The Rock.
Really?
I would go with The Rock only because he would be able to talk about navigating adversity a little better than Jack Black. I do think that they have like
a great point. I never think about that.
You know, relationship with success and whatnot, and probably be able to share great tips. But The Rock is a different. Like he had a black dad. Like the nigga, he grew up around some nigga shit at one point. So he may be able to talk about how to transcend that. I think better than Jack Black. So I'd probably pick The Rock.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that thing right there.
I remember The Rock was catching flack for a while for kind of like, I don't know if he actively denied his island side or just didn't talk about it, but he was kind of like in the light as a white lead.
Can we talk about how people can switch, like code switch in a way that's like that, like a chameleon? Rock, for
ambiguous.
Example. Ambiguous, right? But even like, think of Miley Cyrus, right? Like, she was Miley Cyrus up until Mike Will made it. Then she was Miley Cyrus out here. Miley Cyrus, you know?
Crazy.
And then she was rapping right back
jerseys
to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After the success.
Same with Post Malone.
But see, okay, right. That's what I was going to say. Their code switch is to bait and gain. Our code switch is to survive. Fit in and survive.
Right.
Like, she was already rich before she went to Molly's side.
Right.
She did that to, like, Molly out here, she fucking with us. Like, right. We accepted her. We have to do that shit to survive, to stay at a job, just to pay bills. Not to, like, get more people on our side. That's what we have to do to fucking survive. Right. And that's the big difference.
Black people are a really good, like, baseline for white success. Just throughout history. Like, if you get, like, could make us say that you're cool at the bottom level, then it's like, it's not even like, oh, I need to keep up both audience. You could just leave.
Yeah.
Once white people are like, oh, they're cool, all right, for sure. It's like, oh, shit, I'm country
that
now.
That was, what was old boy?
Post Malone.
Not just him, but
Oh, no way. He switched?
What? That motherfucker, soon, like, that shit went crazy.
Uh-huh.
Blasting, it's on
Tommy
Reels,
obviously. Something,
right? Yeah, right? Right. Soon as the album about to drop, I'm not a rapper. I'm a musician. I don't want to be boxed in.
But you rapped.
Hilarious.
I hate when niggas rap.
You got all of this acclaim. And DJ Head was like, okay, cool. Like, all y'all DJs heard that? Let's stop playing this shit on our our station.
Damn, for real?
If you want to distance yourself after gaining success from our culture, from our audience, from our people, and now you got the blown up shit, and now you want to me. It's like,
that's crazy. Wow.
That's why. And then he tried to backtrack because DJ Head's shit went crazy. Everybody seeing it, then he wanted to backtrack on it. But yeah, Tommy Richmond was like, I'm not really a rapper. And then he was like, no, I meant that in a way of like, I don't want to be boxed in.
Oh, he is
sometimes white. I want to sing, sometimes I want to rap, but I don't want to be boxed into one thing. And everybody's like, well, shut the fuck up.
That's crazy that I get, like, if you are racist with movies, it's visual. You're like, oh, I don't want a black lead. I want a white lead.
Mm.
That, if you're racist, that makes sense to me. But music has always been weird. It's like, okay, it's Sonic. So it's just weird that, like, white people have always had, like, a, like, it's more palatable if a white person does it. Like Elvis, Eminem. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They always end up being these global superstars just because it's more palatable to the white community. But it's like, what about the sound of it?
I can't tell you how happy I am that I'm not hearing a Jack Harlow song right now.
Why?
I couldn't tell you. Like, why would they force Jack Harlow on us so tough? Like, that's what they do.
He has hits, though.
He came out of nowhere.
He did.
He came out of nowhere. Somebody pulled that nigga out of their handkerchief pocket and said, rap, and we're going to push you. And then they
did. That first song was tight.
And, like, I fucked with Lil Dicky when he first came out, but I also saw Lil Dicky's ascension. I saw the work that he was putting in. I saw the mixtape, and then I saw the albums.
He had
and all that.
Humility. You know what I'm saying? Like, the nigga did that one song where he was like, he had no money for it. Like, that no budget. Like, he didn't take himself too serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with Lil Dicky for that reason alone. Mm-hmm. He seemed like a human being.
Right.
But when you feel like this artificial, created in a lab type of a person, and then you're like, yeah, I'm of the culture, but you don't know who Brandy is. It's like, nigga, what? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Who didn't know who Brandy is?
Jack Harlow.
For real?
He didn't know that she sang a song that he was talking about on a podcast at the time. It was a moment on a clip or whatever. And then they, you know, washed the whole situation by putting Brandy on one of his songs, and they both performed it at the BET Awards. And it was like,
that's the formula.
Like, it was,
you
it
still
was
didn't know. Like, it's so crazy to me, because Pat, as a musician, you've done research on musicians that came before you to, one, know your history, but also kind of, like, adapt and grow with styles and kind of just try it out. And that makes sense, like, because anytime you go into, like, an art field, especially, like if you're a painter, you're going to study those that came before you.
Right.
If you're a poet, you're going to study those that came before you.
Mm-hmm.
Musicians don't have that same tenacity and and wherewithal to be like, oh, let me tap into the culture and see some people that, especially
it's
some
such
musicians.
A supportive so, culture.
Yeah.
Have you gone to like a musical open mic before?
I have, yeah. I've been to.
They're some of the most supportive audiences. Like, people will be up there trash. Trash. And everybody's like, well, good job, Amber. It's like,
fighting friends, though.
even if it's not, like, to your point, like, I dated a girl who was a singer. She was an R&B neo-soul type singer. Great voice.
Mm-hmm.
She had the talent. Had no idea who Sade was. No idea about her songs, anything. Some soul people that I would bring up Nina Simone, and it would be like, who?
And I'm like, you're not going to make it. You know, like, you're not going to make it. You know? Like, how do you tell somebody? Like, in comedy, we keep each other fresh. You know you're doing bad in a comedy club, A, because the people aren't laughing, but yeah. B, because the comics in the back are laughing the hardest. If the comics are laughing harder than anybody in the crowd, you're doing a bad job. Like, and they're loving it. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to be like, woo, go, Jay Snow, go. Like, they're not going to be doing that. So,
yeah. I think you're going to get hit with that humility as soon as you get off the stage because everybody just standing there trying to avoid making eye contact with you.
Yeah.
So, you're going to try to be like, they was tripping out there. And there's always one of the comics that be like, nah, they wasn't.
Yeah, for real.
That was you, nigga.
And they was tripping the out there. It's hilarious. Yeah. They tripping.
The crowd is crazy.
Crowd is crazy.
Man. Must be something on their mind. Yeah.
They tripping. All of them? Yeah. They all
that
must
fire
be.
Still going on?
They must be going through something right now.
Everybody's going through something.
And it's like, no, bro, just work a little bit harder, man. Like, just work a little bit harder. So it's very disheartening when I hear that about musicians that... It's just, man,
especially
just doing a little research.
Their influence is horizontal, not backwards. Like they learn from people who are still out.
Yeah,
they'll be like, that nigga Tommy's. He just had a hit song. I'm gonna make a song just like that.
Right.
And that's why it's like. I honestly think that's why that LaMelo Ball song is blowing up because he tapped into, like, influence. Yeah, and nostalgia. You guys know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like the. You know LaMelo Ball, the basketball player?
So this is news to me.
It's random. He's a famous rapper now.
No,
it's
got
it's like a Nelly.
Not LaMelo.
Oh, it's not LaMelo. LiAngelo. Yeah. Okay, so it's the one who's not in the NBA. He has a song that sounds like old school Nelly, juvenile. It's like,
wow.
Swerve in that corner, whoa, whoa. And it's like nobody is doing that anymore. All he had to do was go back 15 years and get inspiration because everybody else is...
Yeah, Moneybagg tried to get on one. I think Webby tried to get on the remix.
And
he signed a fucking $3 million deal with Def Jam.
13.
No way.
$13 million off of this single.
Wow.
So he's like, well.
And everything they said was going to do came true.
Just differently. Yeah. Just
that's
a little
why they
differently.
Really hate this thing.
Just a little differently.
A little different, but I mean, they did the shoe thing.
I said we would ball. I didn't say we'd be in the NBA.
Right. I didn't say how we ball. I just said we would ball.
Facts, though. Fact. Yeah, man, it's a wild time to be alive, man.
That's nuts. Ooh.
How could you not see that and be like, fuck it, I'm gonna make a song. I'm gonna go, you know, produce something right now. I mean, it's the world is wide open for the motherfuckers who are 24 and 26, clearly, right now. You could literally go back to any era, find somebody you like a lot, take their whole style, do it now on social media in your way, and boom.
Exactly. Look. And people be like, oh, that reminds me of Lil Wayne. Yeah, because he took everything.
Yeah.
But that's better than like, oh, he reminds me of a nigga who just came out.
So yeah, right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Man. Well, listen, man, we got to get up out of here. Before we do, though, you want to let the people know what they can look out for, what you got coming up, and also where they can find you at.
And when's the special drop?
The special, listen, I'm be honest with
we
you.
Don't know.
It's a whole process.
It's a whole thing.
Whole process. That special may not see the light of day for you guys until maybe May, maybe June. Okay. I don't know. But as for everything else, just follow me at JSnowPro. You know what I'm saying? I got content that I'm literally producing right now outside of the special. I have another short film that I did. It's about basketball and me not being able to play it. It's going to be really funny.
Nice.
And, just stay tuned to JSnowPro on all platforms, and that's when you'll figure out when I'm dropping shit. So
there you go. That's the best way to do it, man. Using that social media to your advantage, man. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And we'll see you next time on another episode of Damn Internet. You're scary.
You're scary.
Later,
peace,
y'all.
Guys.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.